Tomorrow morning will be a Tainus Esther, which for me personally will mark the 1 year anniversary of my personally being thrown into the sugya of the coronavirus. I think it was probably a couple of days, maybe a week before that, that the virus broke out in New Rochelle, New York, and got an email from the president of YU that they were shutting down operations, which everybody thought was a little crazy back then. My brother and my two nephews, so they were sent home from school. They had, Corona vacation. They went on a ski trip, and they figured, this is going to blow over in a couple of days. But the laugh was on us in a certain way, we're still all sitting here. But personally, it broke on the morning of Tainus Esther. The morning of Tainus Esther, I was on the bus coming to the yeshiva before 7 o'clock in the morning, and my wife calls up and says that there was just an announcement that was made on the telephone to everybody in Telstone that there was someone who davened in the Hasidim Shul, Shabbos Parshas Zachar, and he was diagnosed with the coronavirus. And she wants to know what we should do with my son Yehuda, because my son Yehuda, and I think all of us, were in that shul on Friday night. There was no such a thing as quarantine yet, so there were no instructions given by Misrad HaBriyut telling us what we had to do. So, what are we going to do? I remember talking to the Rosh Yeshiva after davening, and it was just, one of those situations where the situation was just too new to have any kind of clarity. But by the next day, it was already Purim, and guys from Yeshiva already talking about, canceling tickets and what we should do and whether we should go to Telstone on Purim. And a couple hours before the Suda, so we had to, cancel the Bachurim's aspect of the Suda. And slowly but surely, we felt ourselves being pulled into this tempest that's been with us with the last 12 months, Bez Hashem, it should soon leave permanently. But there have been a lot of lessons, at least personally, been a lot of lessons, I think, that we learned over the last 12 months. For myself, I think most probably the lesson, which I've tried very hard to live up to, is that you have to learn how to roll with the punches and remain positive and optimistic no matter what the situation is, and without sticking your head in the sand and denying reality. The facts are the facts, and you have to deal with the facts, and you can't say, okay, it doesn't exist. That's a lot more pleasant. But despite what the reality is, so then there's always room for optimism, and you've got to always be upbeat, and you always got to march forward. That's definitely one major lesson. Other major lesson is appreciating personal contact. Whether it be even by an email, whether it be over a computer, whether it be by phone call, and certainly in person, appreciating that. Because when you don't have it, it's very, very hard. And of course, there's the appreciation that our Torah and our Avodah, our learning together and our davening, is the anchor which keeps us strong and keeps us going in no matter what situation we find ourselves in. If we have that, if we do that well, so then we can make it through almost anything. So for myself, those are some of the lessons. Those are some of the lessons over the last year. It's been a growing experience, hopefully, for all of us. But today, on the eve of Purim, before Tainus Esther again, so I want to talk about another aspect that I don't think that I've really ever addressed. But it has to do with the Tekufa of Purim, and it has to do with the Tekufa of Mechias Amalek, which we've had a full week to do this year. You don't usually have so long to beat up on Amalek before Purim comes. Take a couple of minutes and understand what exactly is Purim about, what Mechias Amalek is about, And really what that has to do with our current predicament and what we could take out of that this year and in all years, because again, go through anything in life, so it's important that you learn from it. The Netziv, when he's Mefarish, Parshas Zohar, so he starts off with a Rashi. And Rashi points out, he's quoting a Medrash Tanchuma, that right before we have the mitzvah of wiping out Amalek, so we have another mitzvah. We have the mitzvah of Mishkalos. A person has to have honest weights. You have a store, you have to make sure that you don't shortchange anybody. You have to be brutally honest. Down to the Kutzei Shel Yud, down to the cent, everything has to be perfectly honest. Evan Shlema, Vitzedek Yelucha, Eifa Shlema. And then after that, so then we have Zochares Asher Asel Cha Amalek. Rashi asks, what's the connection? And he quotes the Tanchuma. Rashi says, "Im shakarta b'midais u'mishkolais," if you lie about your measurements, you lie about your weights, "have a dayeg migiro ya'ayev," then you're going to be attacked by the enemy. Which the Netziv takes an extra step and he says, apparently what Rashi is saying is that the reason that Amalek attacked Klal Yisrael is because Klal Yisrael was not honest with their weights. Klal Yisrael wasn't honest in business. They weren't honest in their weights. And therefore, Amalek came and attacked them. But yes, that makes no sense. Because there was no business in the Midbar. They're marching across the desert. There's no Mishkalos. There's no stores. There's no Mishar. So what do you mean that Amalek came and attacked them because they weren't honest about their weights? The Netziv answers based on a Gemara in Bava Basra. A wild Gemara in Bava Basra. The Gemara in Bava Basra says, Chamur avoin mishkolais, the sin of having dishonest weights is more chamur yeser migiloy arayis. It's even worse than giloy arayis. That sounds like a bit of a stretch. I mean, some people do act this way, you know. Giloy arayis is not such a terrible avera, you know, whatever. I don't know, maybe mishkolais is worse. But it sounds like a random connection, and it sounds very wild. Having weights that are a little off is worse than adultery. It's worse than Gilui Arias. So what are you talking about? Says in the Netziv, he has a whole shtickle terror. He says, Gimel Averis Chamuris. Why are they Gimel Averis Chamuris? They're not the most chamur in terms of the Einish. The Einish that I get if I'm Michal Shabbos is worse than for Gilui Arias. You get a worse form of Misa in Beis Din for Shabbos than for Gilui Arayis. So why are they Gimel Averis Chamuris? He says the Gimel Averis Chamuris represent the worst form of three bad Midas. Avodah Zarah is the worst form of a person who has no Emunah. He doesn't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ritzicha is the worst form of somebody who's a balkas. He has a bad temper and he can't stand dealing with another guy. And Gilui Arayis is the worst form of someone who's a bal taiva, whose passions just drive him. Zakta Netziv, what's the worst of the three Averis Chamuras? Avodah Zarah. Why? Because Avodah Zarah is a person that has the midah that he doesn't believe. If a person is a massive Baal Taiva, if a person's driven by his desires, if a person is an angry person, he fights with everybody, he gets into fights and punches everybody in the nose, you can deal with him. So long as he believes, so long as there's a truth in the world, so long as there's a Rabbeinu Shel Olam in the world. He says, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not so happy with the fact, you know, that you're involved in Arayis. Kosh Baruch was not so happy that you go to a bar and you start getting in fights with other people. So you can deal with him. He'll work on it. But if the person has no emunah, if the person has no Rabbeinu Shel Olam in his life, A person doesn't believe that there is a right or wrong. He's gone. He's finished. He can do whatever he wants. He can punch everybody in the nose. He can get involved in any arayas he wants. Why? Because he has no emunah. There's no emunah. There's no truth. Zakta Netziv, that's the pshat in the Gemara in Bava Basra. Gemara in Bava Basra says that Mishkolos is worse than Gilui Arayas. Why? Mishkolos is the type of gezel that a person doesn't do because of the fact that he has a taiva for money. You have a taiva for money, you're a baal taiva, you'll go out and rob a bank. You'll hold up some guy and take his Maserati away from him. That doesn't have to do with emunah. That doesn't have to do with the fact that you don't believe that there's a Rabbeinu Shalom. It has to do with the fact that you want money. You're driven by your taiva. But the guy who cheats a little bit in business, the guy who changes his weight, he does it for one reason and one reason only. He doesn't really believe that there's someone upstairs who's watching him. He's lacking emunah. And therefore the Gemara says is that the person who cheats on the weights, he's worse than the person who engages in Gilei Arayas. Why? Because the guy who's Megale Arayas, he's just driven by his taiva. But so long as he's a maimon, so you could deal with him. But the person who has no emunah, the person who doesn't believe the Rabbeinu Shalom is calling the shots, he's finished. Can't deal with him at all. And therefore, going back, says the Netziv says that that's the reason that right before Amalek came, we deal with Mishkolos. Because the reason that Amalek came is because Klal Yisrael had a chisaron in emunah. The pasuk says, "Yesh Hashem bekir b'yamayim." Is Hashem really there? When Klal Yisrael has a chisaron in emunah, so that's when you get attacked. That's when you get attacked by Amalek. But what's still not nisbara from over here is, what does Amalek have to do with emunah? What does Amalek have to do with the fact that, you know, that there is no Hashem bekir b'yamayim? That's why they came. What do they really have to do with Mishkolos? Understand that. Understand what Purim is all about. Understand what Mechias Amalek is about as well. It's an interesting thing. I was thinking about it today. If you were to pick one thing which symbolizes the last 12 months, one prop, yeah, what would you take? So if you live in this country now, you look at all the signs, so you probably, you know, whatever, have a Pfizer vaccine or something like that. You know, I'm very, very proud of that. Or if you're in the Tomo-based Medrash here or in Achziv, so you see one of those, you know, glass booths or something like that with, you know, with the microphones on it. But honestly, everybody knows there's one symbol. The one symbol is the mask. I saw somebody that I knew in Shul, you know, 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, Matzah Shabbos. Haven't seen him in like about 3 or 4 years. Maybe a little less than that. But I had a rough time recognizing him because, you know, he's wearing a mask and like all you can see is the eyes. You have the mask, you don't really see the person. But a person's eyes are always sticking out. If you look for long enough, you see the eyes popping out above the mask. And you realize that even though you're distanced from the person and you can't really see him, but the eyes give him away. So after about a minute, they're like, look, you know, that's who it is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the same thing. And that's really what Purim is all about. Purim is Megillas Esther. Purim is Hashgacha Pratis. Purim is that everything is, you know, everything seems natural, everything is teva. But if you look closely enough, and that's why we wear the mask, it's one of the reasons, you can see the eyes on top. The eyes, the energy, kaviyachal, that are really running the whole show. And then you realize that everything that looks natural, everything that seems like it's just happenstance, the whole Megillas Esther, which is Nister, is really a gilui of the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's really running everything. And the Netziv, when he talks about Vayavai Amalek, He says that that's exactly what Amalek. That's exactly what Amalek wanted to take away from us. The pasuk says over there in Bishalach, "Vayovay Amalek," that Amalek came, "Vayilochem im Yisrael berafidim." The Netziv really asked two questions. He says, number one, what's the Vayovay Amalek? What do you need the Vayovay? Vayovay Amalek. Just say, you know, that Amalek was Yilochem im Yisrael berafidim. The second thing that he asks is, why im Yisrael? It should say be Yisrael. That's what it says in other places. What's the im Yisrael? What he says is that Vayovay Amalek, Amalek came as the first step. When they first came, so they didn't start to fight right away. Bases it on a psikta, and he says they first came with leitzanis. They first came with derision of the entire attitude towards Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael believed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was running everything. And they mocked and they mocked and they mocked, and they took the weaker elements of society and they had them join forces. Vayilochem im Yisrael, Vayilochem im Yisrael, they didn't fight with the Jewish people. They felt they fought im Yisrael. Yisrael is the Jewish ideal. They fought with the ideal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. They fought with the idea that there's Hashgacha Pratis. And because of that, so Moshe Rabbeinu says to Yeshua, Vayomer Moshe Yeshua, Bechar lonu Anoshim. Anoshim always means the Lecha Mehatera, the people who are the warriors in the Beis Medrash, which in Netziv says a great thing, people who are warriors in the Beis Medrash. It's known that they're the best warriors in the battlefield as well. And he says, you got to go fight back. Go fight with Amalek. Amalek wants to take away our emunah. We have to fight back against Amalek. Amalek says that there is no Hashgacha Pratis. There is Hashgacha Pratis. Fight back against Amalek. And that was the war with Amalek. And that's the war of Purim. We have to look behind the scenes, we have to look behind the mask and see the eyes looking out at us. It's an interesting point. Seldom do you find a mitzvah where the mitzvah is to hate. The milchama with Amalek is not just that you have to be against Amalek. You have to hate Amalek. You have to demolish Amalek. You have to destroy Amalek. You have to hate the essence of what they stand for. You have to hate the fact that there's an ideal in the world, that there's no Hashgacha Pratis, and that Hashem is not there running the show. One example that comes to mind for me, at least from this year, is that in normal life, you know, we're nichshol in it always, but in normal life, how does a person make decisions? Person makes a decision about what to do, you use your seichel, you decide what's a proper course of action. If you're not sure, so then person should have a merid derech, who you go and you discuss your sveikus with. If it's a medical issue, so then, either you have your own doctor that you talk to, or your merid derech has his medical person that he talks to. And basically you get guidance and you choose a course of action. And then after that, so you daven that it works. But you realize that, listen, I did my responsibility. I thought it through. I came to a decision. And now whether it's successful or not is not really up to me. That's Hashgacha Pratis. Perhaps the biggest craziness of what's gone on over the last 12 months is not the issue itself, it's not the disease itself. But you watch people almost to a man get themselves into a frenzy where when you have to choose a course of action, so what do? Do you think, maybe, the first thing is really, let's get information. So you dial up the Google Ador. And you get one article, and another article, and a third article. One piece of fake news, another piece of fake news, the fourth piece of fake news. Then you can get some, whatever. You can get some quotes from Rabbanim as well. Are those your Yomer HaDerech? Did you ever ask them a Shiloh before? No. And then what do? It's like Russian roulette. You just sort of guess. Is there any davening? Or is it just a false sense of control because of the fact that, whatever, I read all of these things. Everybody knows the truth. If a person lives in a world where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the show, and we know that we have to be sensible, and we have to make sensible decisions, which are straight and that we live by, so it's not a very scary world, no matter what it is. Because you're not in control anyway. But Amalek wanted to take that away from us. Amalek wanted to take away from us the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running anything. We have to control it, and even when we can't control it, we'll still try to control it. Purim, Megillas Esther, Mechias Amalek, what it all has to do with is realizing that behind the mask there's a couple of eyes that we can always catch a glimpse of. And when we see them, we realize that we're not really the ones who are running the show. The one who's really doing it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'Kvaydei Ba'atzmai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who is running the world, Al Pi Hashgacha Pratis. And if we remember that, so then all we have to do is be sensible. Think, and when we don't know, go to somebody who will flesh it out with us. They have their sources, we have our sources, and at the end of the day, you daven. Keep on doing that, together with personal connection, together with the anchor of Torah and Avodah, and together with the positive attitude, realizing that despite whatever we're going through, don't stick your head in the sand and say, oh yeah, everything's great, There is no corona anymore. We're in Tomo. It's just, it doesn't exist. That's wrong. There's a world out there. You got to deal with the world. But be positive about it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will lead us in the right direction. Be'ezus Hashem, we'll be zeche to Refuas and Yeshuas. And by this time next year, Be'ezus Hashem, or even way before that, so this will all be a distant memory that we can smile at and look back at all of the lessons, remembering the lessons much more than the experience itself. Everybody should have a Freilichim Purim, and Be'ezus Hashem, we'll see you next week.